Amen. Amen. I'm working a cough drop here. And so it'll be dissolved in a second. We'll be good. I'd like to turn today to Luke in chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16 today of Luke chapter 5. Last week we did the first 11 verses of Luke 5. And we saw there that Jesus stepped into the boat of Peter and preached. And that at the end of that preaching, he actually asked Simon, Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, their partners, the sons of thunder, those four men, to follow him. And the Bible says that they forsook all and they followed him. What a wonderful thing to see the call of those four wonderful, strong men in the Lord. And we say in the Lord because they weren't strong in themselves. And that's always so good to remember. Well, in verse 12 then, it says this. It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man that was full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, full of leprosy, meaning that he was really close to death. The Bible commentators describe leprosy of that day. It was loathsome, spreading, and incurable. That's the way it was. Now, today we do have some cases of leprosy, so I hear, I remember preaching one sermon one day, that the leprosy's all gone. And a nurse from the congregation ran up after the service and said, no. But over at UCI where I work, we've had some cases of leprosy in there. And so I stand corrected. But we do have great control over it today. But in those days, it was a death sentence and incurable. Now, the scripture tells us in Mark 1:41, which is the other place the story is recorded, that Jesus was moved with compassion. As he saw this man that was full of the leprosy coming and falling on his face before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus was moved with compassion. I just love this about our Savior. He is moved with compassion at every sickness, at everything that hurts us, everything we go through, every feeling, every emotion that we experience. The Lord is touched with the feeling of our infirmities as a good high priest, we're told in Hebrews 4. And we see it here with this man that's full of the leprosy. Jesus was moved with compassion. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I'd like to observe this prayer. It's very important to see the prayers in the Bible. And this prayer really lines up with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a good prayer. It's a wonderful prayer to pray, Lord, your will be done. There are those that teach today that we need to command God and tell God what to do. And to pray, Lord, if it be your will, is a mamby-pamby prayer. I actually heard that preached once by one of these guys. But you see, that's what the leper prayed. And that's what Jesus teaches us to pray. God's will is the perfect will. And I don't want to be commanding God and telling God what to do. You know, I haven't really lived that long to climb up behind his spectacles and tell him what to do. So to pray, Lord, if you will, is a tremendously good prayer. And it's a prayer that was good enough to get this man healed. Because Jesus said, I will. And he touched him and cleansed him. And immediately he was healed totally of life-threatening leprosy. He was full of leprosy. He didn't just have leprosy on his finger or his leg. He was full of it. And God healed him. And his prayer was, if you will, you can make me clean. And so I want to encourage you to pray, Lord, if it's your will, do what you want, Lord. Because God's always got a better plan for you than you've got for you. Because he loves you better than you even love yourself. He loves you with a perfect love. You love yourself with kind of a Hollywood love, I think, sometimes. If that weren't true, you wouldn't look in the mirror so much. But God loves us with a perfect love. And his instruction and his things that he does and allows in our lives are just perfect, wonderful. And so that prayer is a good prayer. Now, we see that he was healed immediately. It was his time to be healed. And Jesus did the wonderful job of touching him. Now, the Jewish law says that if you touch a leper, that you are ceremonially unclean. But it's okay for Jesus Christ to touch him. Because as Jesus touches the leper, his cleanness and his virtue is imparted to become the cleanness and the virtue of the leper. And he is no longer unclean. And Jesus then is not ceremonially unclean. But of course, giving his purity to the leper and his cleansing. Now, as I read that scripture and read this scripture this week, full of leprosy, began to identify because I was really, really sick in the beginning of the week. And of course, I didn't have leprosy, thank God. But I felt like I might die. And just, going through the old flu symptoms that so many of you probably have already. And hopefully and prayerfully, you won't go through it, but some of you probably will get the chills and all those things that we go through when we get the flu. But the Lord was so kind to me in and through prayer, just like with the prayer for the leper. And God gives us that personal touch, doesn't he? And I love it when he does that and brings about that healing. For he does heal us of all our diseases. In fact, the disease that'll kill you, you'll be healed from, because then you'll be standing before Jesus forever. Isn't that a good idea? Yeah, amen. And so the Lord has his ways as he deals with us to do things just perfectly in our lives. For me, it was on Thursday morning, and I had heard that my granddaughter Jenna was also sick with the same thing I had. And so Jenny had called Sherry and was talking to her, and I hadn't been talking all week because my voice was gone. But I thought, you know what, I just want to talk to Jenna because she's sick like me. And so I got the phone, and I said, Jenna, Poppy's really sick. And she says, Poppy, Jenna's really sick too, like you. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And so I prayed for her. And then I said, Jenna, would you pray for me? And she said, yes. And so she prayed. And she prayed a word of knowledge from God. It was wonderful. This little five-year-old. You know, I recommend children to you for prayer. And she prayed and she said, Lord, would you please heal Poppy and give him the right medicine? And all week I'd been struggling with that subject. And she didn't know that. Her parents didn't know that. Nobody knew that but the Lord and me. And of course, Sherry. I mean, you see the commercials on TV. Get rid of the mucus. Get mucus busters, you know. And so you think, well, should I spend the $7 for mucus busters, you know? And do you take echinacea, upinacea, tupinacea, or ipinacea? And then sometimes it becomes like fantasia, you know. And you just don't know what to take, you know. It's just, you just go crazy with mind games and back and forth and up and down. But it's so neat because Jenna just prayed that simple prayer. Lord, show Poppy what medicine to take. And the Lord just opened the doors, and I won't go into the long deal about that, but I did go to the doctor and back and forth, and was able to really get some medication that really worked for me. And I thank God for that. God really uses medication. Did you know that? And there's actually a biblical instruction about that in the book of Isaiah. King Hezekiah was really sick. The Bible says he was sick unto death. And the Lord had given Isaiah the prophecy that Hezekiah was to get his house in order because he was going to die of the sickness that he had. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed and asked God to please give him more years of life. Now, Isaiah was leaving the room, and God spoke to Isaiah and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him he got 15 more years. Well, that'll get you praying, won't it? Boy, so Isaiah goes on back to Hezekiah, but he takes with him figs, and he puts figs on Isaiah's boils. And this was the herbal medicines of the day. And so the figs were used to draw out the poisons from the boils, and so Isaiah or Hezekiah did not die of those boils, but got 15 more years of life. And so God uses medications, and it's really neat that he does that, and you don't have to be afraid of medications or get weird about it. But we go to the Lord, we ask God what to do, and maybe the Lord will give you a word. Lord, just show Poppy what medicine to take. And it really worked out for me. For the next day, I was able to go and preach at the children's musical. And so I thank God for that touch and that personalness for me and that preciousness with my granddaughter. And the Lord just has those wonderful things, doesn't he, for each one of us that he does in personal ways. As the leper said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And he said, I will. Just be clean. And the Lord healed him right there. Beautiful miracle of God to transform this man's life. Now let's go ahead and read on. It says this, now he charged him to tell no man. Now there's a hard injunction, isn't it? Don't tell anybody. But go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I always love the way that Jesus Christ is a submissive man. The Bible says that he was in submission to his parents. He grew in favor with God and with man. And here we see that he's in total submission to the law of the living God. He tells the man to go and to do what Moses told him to do. And we're told in the book of Hebrews that Moses is like the house, and Jesus is the builder of the house. Just as a man would build a house, so God, Jesus, built Moses. He created Moses. He had authority over Moses in the long scheme of things, for he's God. But here as he was on the earth, he was in submission to the law of Moses because he was a humble man, Jesus Christ. And he fit into authority structures that God had given in this world for him to be in as a man. It's a wonderful thing to see. For he certainly could have been braggadocio. And he certainly could have said, I'm God, move aside. And he could have skipped over Moses and skipped over the law and these things if he so chose, but he did not. And I love that about him. And I love to see people without authority problems in their lives. Your authority structures that God has given you, your boss and your work and your husband and being a lover of your wife, husbands, and also in the authority structures of the church and of schools and of different places that God gives us in this lifetime to fit in. It's beautiful to see Jesus fitting in, and not being a lone star and a pushy type that does not respect authority in the government, in the president, in the police officers. It's just refreshing to find folks that don't have authority problems in their lives. And I want to say that to this congregation, because in our society today, there's a huge authority problem, huge authority problem. And it infiltrates into the church sometimes, where folks just cannot be under authority. They just have to have their own way. And it's so stinking, but it's so beautiful and so refreshing when you and I can fit in where God fits us in, and to be a part, a constructive part of every sinew working together to build the body of Christ, of itself in love. It's beautiful. And Jesus was there. Of course, he's the head of the church. He knows how to do it right. And so he says to the leper, you go to the priest and you bring the gift that's written in the law of Moses. So the Bible says, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, think not that the Son of Man is to come to destroy the law or the prophets. He hasn't come to destroy, but to fulfill, to be a part of, to fit into, to make complete and beautify. You know, and it's actually as Jesus was asking this man to go and fulfill the law part, He was actually asking this man, the leper, to go and see a shadow, to go see a picture of what Jesus did in cleansing him and what Jesus would do on that cross very soon to cleanse and forgive the whole world of their sin. For every sacrifice in the Old Testament and every gift that was brought and every commandment of Moses was pointing to the blood sacrifice of Jesus. We have this teaching very clearly, and it's given to us as a doctrinal statement in the book of Hebrews. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews now, to chapter 10 and verse 1. Whenever we want to understand the Old Testament as it relates to the New, you always go to the book of Hebrews. And it's done so well there through the Holy Spirit. And of course, Jesus is connecting the Old Testament with the New, with the leper and his experience now. And we're going to go through the experience of the leper today, kind of step by step, and just enjoy what Jesus was doing with this man. And this wonderful man just receiving the touch of God and the revelation of the Holy Spirit in all that Jesus was about. Well, here in Hebrews, we get the instruction of what Jesus is doing with the leper. It says this, "The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Now, in the Jewish law, the sacrificial system was given to kofar. That's a Hebrew word which means to cover sin. But they would not be taken away or purged except through the blood of Christ who would come later. And so all of these sacrifices were simply pointing towards Jesus. And how believers are saved and their conscience cleansed in those days was looking forward to the coming of Messiah, Jesus Christ. How we're cleansed and purified is looking back to the sacrifice of Christ on that cross. And so we're told here that these sacrifices in the Old Testament were offered year by year continually, and they could not make the comers perfect, but they were looking for that perfect day when Jesus would come. For then they would not have to cease to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. They had to do it all the time. They had to bring the lambs all the time. They had to bring the goats all the time. They had to bring the bulls all the time and the birds all the time in a continual bringing, because it was something that was representing something that hadn't happened yet in the cross. And that's what this verse has just told us. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, that is when Jesus comes into the world, he says, "Sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body that hast thou prepared me." Jesus then brings the body himself, who would be that sacrifice that would take care of all that needed to be taken care of, to actually cleanse the conscience from impure thoughts, and cleanse the conscience from all sin, not just to kofar or to cover, but to actually take away that sin. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I," and this is the Lord speaking, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Everywhere that we're going to go in the Old Testament, and we're going to go there in a minute about the cleansing gift for this leper, it speaks of Jesus. In the volume of the book, it's spoken of him. It's about him, because he's the one that would give that eternal sacrifice. "Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you would not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that is the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the New Testament, based on better promises. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through our flesh and our sin, God did through sending his Son Jesus, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Oh, I thank God for this. Imagine if you came to church this morning and you had to bring an animal that you were going to kill here. That sounds like no fun to me at all. And I don't think I'd really like to be a pastor that had to lift a knife and kill a lamb for you and to shed that blood. and to have the vessels and so forth here to take care of all that blood and so forth. That's what they had to go through in the sacrificial system. But we come to church here this morning, dressed in our nice clothes without the thought of having to have an animal killed. Because you see, Jesus came and he died once and for all of us, for all of our sin, for all of the time, past, present, and future. And it's done, it's finished, it's over. And the volume of the book, even in the Old Testament, speaks of that, speaks of the coming time when he would come. And so as we look at the sacrifices in the Old Testament, we look for pictures of Jesus Christ. We look for shadows of him. And it's a precious thing. And we want to now take our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and actually go inside the leper. That leper that came to Jesus to be touched and healed. And Jesus reached out and touched him and healed him. And he said, now go to the priest and take the gift. It was required by you by Moses. And now we're going to go with this man to actually experience what he had to do. And in experiencing that very thing, we're going to be seeing a revelation of the Holy Ghost, a revelation that Jesus was bringing this man to show him his cleansing, to show him his salvation. And just a wonderful experience that this man must have had with the Lord in going to do what it was required for a leper to do and to receive a picture and then to be around to see the cross happen. What a time, what a spiritual pilgrimage for this dear man. So with that, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 14 now and see what he would go through. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. Now Leviticus is right in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And this is the law of Moses. And so we go to chapter 14 of Leviticus. We begin reading in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And this is why Jesus is instructing him to go to the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood. I want you to notice, and you'll probably begin to notice already now, as these laws were established, of course, these people had no idea. Crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. They had no idea what this was about. They just knew that they were obeying the law of Moses. They were being submission and not having an authority problem with the law of Moses. And they were going ahead and doing what they were told to do by God Almighty through Moses, their leader, that they were to bring wood. Of course, wood was very present at the cross. The cross was made out of wood. And scarlet. Scarlet is bright red. There's lots of red at the cross. Lots of blood everywhere. The blood of Christ. And hyssop. Hyssop was also present at the cross. Hyssop is a sponge-like plant. It was used to put liquids in and to offer to sufferers on the cross, sometimes with vinegar mixed with a wine, and sometimes just water to drink on the sponge. And they were both present at the cross as Jesus was offered these things with the hyssop. Hyssop was used in ceremonial cleansing in the Old Testament. As we know, David said, cleanse me with hyssop, Lord, in his prayer in Psalm 51, because he knew that was part of the ceremonial cleansing. So these three things, present at the cross, who knew that? Not even Moses, only God. God knew that and told Moses to put that in the Jewish law. So this leper, years later, after being touched by Jesus, would be going and seeing the wood, and seeing the scarlet, and seeing the hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. Oh, what a picture. Oh, what a picture that they had no idea what it meant until Jesus came and fulfilled these things. And we have the living bird representing the resurrected Christ. And we have the dead bird, of course, representing the fact that he would bleed and die for our sins on that cross. As we study the history of it, what they would do is they would take the wood and they would actually put the hyssop on the wood and tie the hyssop to the wood with a scarlet ribbon. And so there's this picture, as we can see, of the cross right there, as the scarlet ribbon is attached to the hyssop in the wood. And then the living bird is taken and attached to the wood and the hyssop and the scarlet. And then this whole situation is dipped in the blood. It's taken from the bird that was killed, and the running water is dipped in, just the feather part on the bottom of the bird, because the bird's wings needed to be kept clean of the blood, and the bird's head, so the bird could be free to be let go, the living bird, into the resurrected idea and the resurrected symbolism, into the open field later to fly away. But just picturing that whole scene being dipped in the blood, it's just so much the cross. It's so much the Lord. It's so much a picture that's being painted for us and for that leper that was touched and healed by Jesus. Now remember, this leper actually went to the priest and actually saw the wood and actually saw the hyssop and actually saw the bird tied and dipped and the blood. He saw the blood, and then he saw the freedom of the resurrection. He saw all that. But as it was dipped, he was sprinkled with the blood. Sprinkled with the blood. And how would a person take that? We don't know. How would you take it as you go after being cleansed of the leprosy and then having the blood sprinkled on you? You might think in first reaction, gee, blood on me. You know, I'm so glad I'm healed, but I'd rather not have the blood. But don't you know, as time went on, and this leper began to follow Jesus Christ and to hear about Jesus Christ and the things that were happening with Jesus Christ, and then to know about the cross. And as the Holy Spirit of God, as he was most assuredly do, begin to speak to that leper's heart about the things that he experienced with Jesus and the things that Jesus told him to do with the priest, and then to see the cross and to see the scarlet, and to see the hyssop, and to see the wood, and then how he would begin to love the blood and love the sprinkling of the blood. For it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins and brings healing to our lives. And the revelation that's there, and the beauty of the connection through Hebrews of the Old and the New Testament, and the loveliness of what Jesus did on that cross when he said, "It is finished, it's accomplished." And the pictures that are painted, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. You know, I couldn't help but to think about that scene in The Passion of the Christ in the movie, when the soldier went and stabbed Jesus with the spear to make sure he was dead at the cross. And then the blood and the water came out, and I think about killing the bird in the running water. The blood came out mixed with the water from the side of Christ, and the soldier at first was kind of repulsed by the blood hitting him in the face as he was stabbing Jesus. But then it was so neat the way that was done. I think it was so right on, and I think it was so the leper and his experience at the actual cross is to remember the blood. And as that soldier first flinched at the blood, then he surrendered to the blood, and he put his hands to his side and began to enjoy the blood. And then he fell to his knees and just accepted the shower of the blood of Christ, as you and I do when we come to the Lord. We accept the cleansing flood of his blood, and as we do that, it becomes wonderful, doesn't it? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And I was one of my favorite parts of that movie because it just is so true. We just want to sit underneath that shower, don't we? And just let him do it to us and cleanse us and bring that refreshing and blessing. Well, it's beautiful what happened to the leper. And I'm convinced that this revelation broke fully into his life before it was over. And he became a powerful, wonderful Christian, saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and moving in the power of the Spirit through his healing, saved from death on several levels. And so we thank God so much for that. Let's go on back now to Luke chapter 5. Now, Jesus had told this man not to tell anybody. Fat chance for that being obeyed. I remember one time I was in Palos Verdes on a cliff, and I asked the Lord, I begged the Lord if I could please fly. I just wanted to make one circle with the birds and come back, and I would land. And I was serious about that. I always wanted to fly. And I was alone, and I was praying, and the Lord said, you know I can't do that. And I said, I won't tell anybody, Lord. And the Lord said to me, yes, you would. And I knew he was right, and I understood, so I've got to wait along with you. So we'll all wait. Unless maybe the Lord's granted that to some of you. Don't tell us. But the thing is, this man was asked not to say anything, but he could not keep it quiet. And we're told in Mark 1, chapter, or verse 45 of Mark 1, that he went and told it everywhere. He spread it abroad, the Bible says. You know, I was once a leper, but now I'm clean, and I went and they sprinkled me with the blood, and you know, and just on and on, and he just probably just told everything. And the scripture tells us that he did that, and of course the result of that is that Jesus could no longer go into the city, but he had to be in the wilderness. And the people came to him in the wilderness. So Jesus, I think a couple of things he was doing there, he was just not wanting to be egotistical, wanting to give glory to God, wanting the man to go to the priest and take care of things, and wanted to keep as low-key as long as he could so he could have a freedom in the city to preach. But it got out of hand, and he then had to resort to the wilderness, and the people came to him. And oh, how they came freely to him in the wilderness. Now we read in verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So the multitudes coming to Jesus. Now, Jesus, it says here in verse 16 that he withdrew himself from the multitudes into the wilderness and prayed. Now, Jesus isn't doing this to get a rest. We see that when the people would come to him, even though when he told the disciples, let's go to a desert place apart for a rest, when the people ran around the lake to get to him before he landed in the boat, the Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to just minister, and he ministered all day. So he would never run from the people for the sake of just getting a rest. But he did withdraw himself for the needful experience of prayer because he knew that he needed to be in touch with the Father. He needed to be empowered by the Father. He needed to be close to the Father in order to have the spiritual prowess that the Father imparted to him. He was given the Spirit without measure from the Father to go ahead and minister, to be rejuvenated and lifted and to hear from the Father. He said, without the Father, I do nothing. He said, I do nothing without the Father. And what the Father tells me, that's what I do. And so he had to hear from the Father. He had to be with the Father. And he had to have that time of prayer. Now, if Jesus needed that, how much more do we? The scripture says, freely you've received, freely give. If I haven't freely received, how can I freely give? When you come to church and you sit there with your precious eyeballs, and I do love your eyeballs, I love it when we get into a groove together. When I move this way, your eyeballs move, you know, and we go back and forth. You're sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're hearing the Word of God because I'm preaching the Word of God. And it's wonderful. But you're sitting there and you're receiving and you're hearing from God. And you know what's happening? You're being cleansed and washed with the water of the Word. And you're being sprinkled with the blood of Christ again, and the clear conscience is coming. And then you go home and you feel better. And you're able to call Aunt Hilda on the phone and minister to her. Because there's a joy in your spirit and a peace that's come because you've sat with Jesus. You've come to church and you've been with the Holy Spirit. You've set aside that time. Jesus went to a wilderness place to sit and listen to the Father. He went to do that. And I want to talk about the listening part of prayer. You ever wonder, what does Jesus do when he goes away and prays? For all night, it says one night that he prayed all night. And you think, how do you pray all night? You can only pray so many things. It might take you 2 hours and you get your shopping list done. Lord, I need, new sandals, new shoelaces for my new sandals. And, and I need a new loincloth. I need whatever, And you can go on and on for so many hours, and then you're done. Your shopping list is over. Then what happens in prayer? Well, a huge part of prayer is listening. Jeremiah, my son, at the men's retreat 1 year, spoke a message on the listening part of prayer. And Jeremiah's always been a good listener. He's a man of few words. And he's learned how to listen in prayer. And it was neat to have that study. And it's something that I always have to come back to. And God was so good this week to bring me back to it because I was sick this week. I couldn't talk. My eyes really hurt and I couldn't read much. Jerry would read to me the Bible. And it was hard to watch TV with my bad eyes and my head and the fever and the whole thing. And I had to sit up a lot of nights because I couldn't lay down. And so I'd sit on the couch there with nothing to do. Just feeling terrible and miserable physically. And God moved in. And God began to show me and to teach me again how to listen to him. And we had such wonderful times. And I just got to share it with you. And it's neat. In case you get sick, you can look forward to it. Oh boy, I'm going to get sick. Because you know what? I can go sit on the couch at 4 a.m. and listen to Jesus. And Jesus began to speak to me and just love me and just say sweet things to me that I didn't know he knew. And he even thought about. But he thinks about us like the sand is upon the seashore and like the stars in the heavens, and he wants to talk to us. And you know what happens when that happens? You get a peace in your soul. And you get encouraged in your soul. And you just get blessed in your soul. And you get revitalized in your soul. And you get ready in your soul. And you can come and preach to the people in your soul. And love the people in your soul. And reach out to the people around you in a greater way and with more compassion in your heart and more love coming from yourself because you've been with Jesus and you've seen him again and you've seen him afresh and anew, and I'm so glad and I'm so thankful to him that he does things like that. Well, I was sitting on the couch at 4 a.m. and I looked up and I was just looking around and I saw Jesus looking out of the microwave at me. And I go, this is weird. He's looking out at me from the fiery furnace, the microwave. And it was the perfect image of Jesus Christ. And it was like always imagined he looked. I've never liked that picture of him with soft skin. This doesn't bear witness. And then when the 1970s, when they made a picture of Jesus with short hair and a little more rugged, I thought, okay, but that's not good enough either. In my mind, Jesus is more rugged than that. Well, Jesus in a rugged face is looking at me through the microwave, and I'm thinking that's the most perfect picture I've ever seen of Jesus. Now, I'm not weird, and I don't believe in stigmatas and stigmatisms and big ubits, and I'm not going to go to Qumran or to Guadalajara on a journey to the microwave of the bulbs to see the stigmata. So I knew something was reflecting in the microwave to make this picture. And I just saw it as artwork. So I began to look for what it might be. And I saw it was the base of the juicer. And I thought, okay, it's the juicer. And so I looked over at the juicer, and then I saw that the face of Jesus was the dish towel. And there was blood, bright red blood over his eye. And below his nose and over his mouth. And so I began to look for the blood. This was something that was bright red in the microwave. And so I found out that the key to the juicer was the blood over his eye. And then the bag where you put the pulp from the juicer had a Ralph's thing on it that was red. Red's is Ralph's and Ralph's is red, right? And so that was the blood on his nose. And so I said, Lord, I'm glad we have that straight, so I'm not being weird here. It's just a piece of artwork like kids do in Sunday school. But Lord, I'm enjoying this artwork because it's the greatest picture of you I've ever seen. And the blood is so red there, Lord, and it's just neat, Lord. And so it was kind of a game that we were having together, and things just got more and more fun. And he began to speak to my heart and said, Mark, I want to speak to you through my blood on my face here and this picture I painted for you. He says, you know, you've been just thinking in your mind bad thoughts, and you've been into self-condemnation in this sickness. And that's something I do. You ever do that? You know, the devil condemns us every day, but when you're sick, then the devil wants to kick you when you're down. You ever notice that part? Or the devil wants to kick you when you're down. You're not feeling good physically, so he wants to kick you real good spiritually and get you down on your face. And I began to, I had bad thoughts during my sickness time, like the Lord's disfellowshipping me. And he's taking me away from church and fellowship. And Lord, I feel so rejected. And it's because of my bad thinking, Lord. And I was feeling that. The Lord showed me the blood over his eye. Because you know what, Mark, he says, I have blood that covers your thought life and covers your head because my head was beaten for you. And don't you think I love you more than that? I want you to get out of this self-condemnation thing. I want you to start enjoying me in this sickness because I want to talk to you. I want to be a part with you. And I want you to listen to me and hear me. And so it was so precious to have that blood over his eye and the cleansing of the mind, the sprinkling of the blood, the cleansing of the leper, the forgiveness of sin, and the cleansing of the mind. And then there was blood over my mouth, over his mouth, as I was identifying with this picture of the blood that was most certainly there over his mouth, for he was beaten mercilessly. But the blood covers your mouth, covers my mouth. The scripture says, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. And that guard is the blood of Christ. And he takes the coal from the altar and touches our lips and cleanses our lips. And he can say whatever you have said or what you think you said wrong or whatever. It's cleansed. It's covered in the blood. And oh, the revelation and the lifting that came to me that night, 4 a.m, sitting on the couch with nothing to do but listen to Jesus. And oh, how I want to encourage us, you and I, in our listening times to Jesus, to actually get aside, be away, take the time, listen to the Lord. Have a prayer time that's the shopping list. Yes, he loves to hear our shopping list. He loves to hear it. He'll say no to some of it. Can't have the Cadillac, sorry. But he'll say yes to a lot of it too. Lord, give me more love. He loves to hear that prayer. For if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he gives it to us. But he wants us to listen and to hear and to be lifted and strengthened through that so that we can come and love people. Give people a hug in the Holy Ghost. And to actually be. And we want to pray that now. So let's stand and pray. Father, just thank you so very much for times that you give each one of us these revelations and these touches from your Spirit. And how you take time to spend time with us, Lord. And how, Lord, you're just joyfully waiting all the time in the sideboards, Lord. You're not pushy and you're not loud, but you're sweet and you're gentle. And how you can revitalize us, Lord, through imparting to us sweetness and gentleness. And Lord, thank you for that love. Thank you that you're the lover of our souls. Thank you, you're the bleeder of the blood. You're the bishop of our souls. Lord, we're the apple of your eye. And how you do speak. So Lord, just continue to speak to myself, Lord, my brothers and sisters, Father. Lord, thank you, God, for in every experience, you're so vitally, vitally involved with our lives. Thank you, Father. We praise you today. Thank you for our brother, the leper, who we'll see in heaven. You gave such a full revelation and such divine instruction. Lord, continue to instruct us, Lord. Continue, Father, in Jesus' name, to show us the right medicines, Lord. And we know, Lord, a merry heart works good like a medicine. So, Lord, we pray that in the times of depression that you would always bring us back to fellowship with you and experiencing the merry heart. And so we thank you, Father. Bless us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Transform us, Lord. Keep us close to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord. The band's going to come. Praise the Lord. Don't you just love the way Kevin belts that out? Amen. Glory to God. Wonderful. If you would desire prayer for anything today, the prayer room's open for you. Jerry Jackson tells me he's healthy, so he's going to have clean hands to touch you with. May the Lord bless you today. May God just continue to speak to your heart, for he most certainly will, in just the way that's most a blessing to you. Isn't it neat the way God knows us so very personally? You know, so don't be looking in your microwave. That was just me. God's going to speak to you the way he speaks to you. May God bless you and give you a great week in him. In Jesus' name, amen.